Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear fellow worshipers of our living Lord and Savior, He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. A recent survey asked Americans which of their five senses would they least like to lose: their sight, their smell, their taste, their hearing, or their touch. Over three quarters of the people who answered that survey said that the least likely sense they would want to lose is their sense of sight. And that makes perfectly good sense to us, doesn't it? Our sight provides us with the visual information that we need to get around in this world. Our sight enables us to appreciate beauty, to recognize faces, and to easily perform the daily tasks of life, walking and cooking, working and playing. Even a partial loss of our sight would have a very detrimental impact upon our quality of life. Just ask anyone who is suffering with cataracts or with macular degeneration. Because our sense of sight is so important to us, it's very easy for us to understand why the Bible uses the picture of spiritual blindness to describe those who do not trust in Jesus as their risen Lord and Savior. This spiritual blindness can take a variety of forms. Sometimes a person who is spiritually blind is hostile. They're hostile to Christ. They're hostile to His followers. They're hostile to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes the person who is spiritually blind is confused. They're all confused about who Jesus of Nazareth is and what Jesus of Nazareth has done for them. And sometimes a person who is spiritually blind simply cannot comprehend their natural spiritual condition in the eyes of the one and only true God. No matter what form spiritual blindness might take, Easter has the power to replace that blindness with spiritual sight, true spiritual sight. Easter enables us to see where we sinners now stand in the eyes of the one and only living God. Easter enables us to see the path through life that is worth taking. Easter enables us to see the one who holds us in the palm of His hands, the one who is there and worthy of our worship, both now and in eternity. As you and I continue our celebration of Easter, the Holy Spirit uses these words of the Apostle Paul to focus our attention on this truth. Because He lives, we can see things clearly. On the morning of that first Easter Sunday, the risen Christ Himself first appeared to those humble and faithful women, didn't He? And He said to them, "Greetings, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While Jesus very clearly instructed His disciples to go to Galilee and He would meet with them there, He did not tell them when. And so after Jesus, the risen Christ, had appeared to His disciples there in that locked room in Jerusalem, after the risen Christ had appeared to the two disciples on their way to Emmaus, and after the risen Christ appeared 1 week later to Thomas and all of the other disciples there in that upper room, what did Jesus' disciples do? They went to Galilee and they waited. They were waiting for the risen Christ to give them further instructions as to how they were to carry out the work that He had given them to do. While we're not told how long the disciples had been waiting for Jesus in Galilee, John does tell us that after a while, Peter, of course it would be Peter decided to use that time of waiting in the wisest way that he could think of. John tells us, "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. Peter's decision to go out fishing certainly doesn't surprise us. Most of these men were fishermen by trade. And what do fishermen naturally want to do? They want to go fishing. What does surprise us is that based upon their experience as professional fishermen, they chose to go out and fish at the best time ever, during the course of the night. But John tells us, that night, they caught nothing. Those simple words lead us into the heart and core of our text for today. Look at verses 4 through 13. John tells us, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did this, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's a reference to the Apostle John himself, said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. Did you catch the miracles that are found in this portion of Scripture? I see 4 miracles. The first miracle is found in Jesus' words, friends, haven't you any fish? The fact that Jesus called these disciples his friends is significant, especially after Good Friday, especially after that first Easter Sunday. All of these disciples deserted Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter denied even knowing who Jesus was 3 times. Instead of standing outside of Jesus' tomb on the morning of that third day, anxiously waiting for Jesus to victoriously step out of that tomb, as he promised them he would, where were these disciples? They were hiding in a locked room somewhere in Jerusalem. Why? Scripture reveals to us they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. And yet, in spite of all of this, the risen Christ calls them friends. Think about what that means for you and for me, my friends. Even though there have been times when we have deserted Jesus, even though there have been times when we have denied Jesus, even though there have been times when we allowed doubt and suffering and everything to overflow on us because we doubted what God reveals to us in his holy word, because he lives, we are now able to see the risen Christ with his arms open wide, calling out to us, friends. No matter what we have done, no matter who we are, the gift of saving faith that God has created in our hearts guarantees to us that we are the friends of our risen Lord and Savior. The second miracle that I see in these passages centers on that miraculous catch of fish, 153 to be exact. Does that remind you of any other miracle that Jesus did for his disciples? It reminds me of that first miraculous catch of fish when Jesus called some of these men to be his disciples. In Luke chapter 5, we're told that Jesus was standing on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, teaching the word of God to a large crowd of people. Eventually, he got into Peter's boat and asked him to put out a little from the shore. When Jesus had finished teaching the word of God to this large group of people, he then turned to Peter and told him to put out into deep water, something that fishermen don't normally do, to put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. What was Peter's response? He said to Jesus, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught a thing. But because you said so, I will let down the nets." You know what happened next, don't you? They caught such a large number of fish that not only Peter's boat, but the boat of his fishing partners, James and John, they all began to sink. Now, what was Peter's reaction? Scripture tells us, he fell to his knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." This is when Jesus said to Peter and to the other disciples, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Here in our text, we see a very similar miracle, a miracle that undoubtedly reminded these disciples of that first miraculous catch of fish some 3 years ago. But the miracle that was even greater than that great catch of fish was the miracle of Peter's reaction. Instead of saying, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man," Peter wasn't about to wait for that boat to finally make it back to shore. Peter jumped into the water and he swam to Jesus as fast as he possibly could. Why the two different reactions? What changed? Certainly, Peter's awareness of his own sinfulness had not changed. In fact, his threefold denial of Jesus undoubtedly led him to an even greater understanding of just how weak and how sinful he was. What changed, my friends, was Peter's ability to see clearly. Now, Peter could see clearly that Jesus' mission here on this earth was to innocently suffer and die on the cross, to completely pay for all the sins of all people, including Peter's own sin. Now, Peter could see clearly that because Jesus kept his promise and physically rose from the dead on the third day, his resurrection guarantees, absolutely guarantees, that his mission was a success. Is it really any different for you or for me? Not at all. We know from personal experience why our Savior says to us on the pages of his word, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false teachings, and slander." We hear the powerful message of God's law say to us as individuals, "For the wages of sin is death." But by the grace of God, we are now able to see that because he lives, the cross and the empty grave are God's proof that all of our sins are completely forgiven. By the grace of God, we are now able to see that because he lives, we have the guarantee that we are now justified. We are declared not guilty in the eyes of the one and only living God. Because he lives, we are now able to see that when it's our turn to stand before the judgment throne of the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, we have nothing, absolutely nothing to fear. Why? Because he lives. Because he lives, we have the absolute confidence that comes from knowing that we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. That is a miracle that we never want to underestimate. The third miracle that I see here in this text centers on what people very often refer to as table fellowship. When Jesus said to his disciples, "Come and have breakfast," he was not only showing them his deep concern for their physical well-being, remember they had just spent all night fishing and didn't catch anything, but he was also showing them his concern for their spiritual well-being. These men would be some of the first to go out into all the world and proclaim the message of a crucified and risen Savior. As they went from town to town and from village to village and from city to city, they could share the message of the gospel with the confidence of telling people, "We saw the risen Christ with our own two eyes. We walked with him and we talked with him. We even ate with him." While Jesus does not say to us, "Come and have breakfast," he does say to us, "Come, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Come, take and drink. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins." Every time we approach the Lord's altar to receive the Lord's Supper, we do so with the confidence of knowing that because he lives, we are able to see even more clearly how his life, how his death, and how his resurrection applies to each and every one of us. The same truth applies every time we bring a little baby to be baptized in the name of the triune God. Because he lives, we have the confidence of knowing that through this precious sacrament, that precious little child is washed clean of all of their sins, given the gift of saving faith in their heart, and adopted. Adopted as the dearly beloved child of the one and only living God. And so, yes, my friends, we need to see both the sacrament of holy baptism and the sacrament of holy communion as precious miracles that our living Lord and Savior has graciously given to us. The final miracle that John places before us this morning is found in the closing verse of the text. "This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead." Could Jesus' resurrection from the dead simply have been a hoax? Could Jesus' resurrection from the dead simply have been an hallucination? His disciples were so overwhelmed with grief that they only thought they saw Jesus alive. Absolutely not. The scriptures very clearly state that Jesus physically rose from the grave on the third day, just as he promised he would. Recall that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul lists six different occasions when the risen Christ appeared to six different groups of individuals during the 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension into heaven. Easter is indeed a miracle that deserves to be celebrated each and every day. So what does this mean for you and for me? It means that because he lives, we can now see things clearly. What are some of the things that we can now see clearly because of Jesus' resurrection from the dead? Think about it. Because he lives, we don't need to be afraid of death. Jesus' physical resurrection from the dead guarantees that one day we too shall rise from our graves. Because he lives, we can see that no matter what may or may not happen to us on our journey through this world, no matter what we may or may not have, we are victorious because he is victorious. Because he lives, we are able to see that our purpose in life is to joyfully share with others who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ has done for them. Because he lives, we have the privilege of seeing that as his children, we are now to be his eyes and his ears, his hands and his feet as we strive to reflect our love for our living Savior by loving our neighbor as ourself. With all due respect to anyone who is suffering with cataracts or macular degeneration, we always need to remember that our spiritual sight is infinitely more important than our physical sight. The continuing glory of Easter Sunday is what gives us the ability to see things clearly. The continuing glory of Easter Sunday is what enables us to say with all confidence, He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. To God be the glory. Amen.